We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
We're back to Texas today, so that's where he is going to be, at least for the first week of OTAs and potentially for the next 2 weeks. Remember, Adrian Peterson has a $250,000 bonus if he goes to 90% of the OTAs and minicamp with the Vikings. So by sitting home, he is potentially forfeiting that. Now, there are two issues here. First of all, this is something Peterson has done several times in his career. He has not always been at OTAs. This does feel a little bit different because people speaking for him, especially his agent Ben Dogger, have said that Peterson is uncomfortable playing in Minnesota, playing for the Vikings, and despite so many overtures from Coach Mike Zimmer, from the general manager, from other Vikings executives, Peterson's feelings have not changed, so Peterson, the Vikings, are nowhere.
Ian Rappaport from ESPN. You know, I'm so weary of these games that AP is playing. You're the one who beat your child with a stick. It wasn't the Vikings. He got paid for it last year. You know, okay, he doesn't show up to the OTAs. I think he has to show up for 90% of the offseason workouts. And even if he doesn't, if he tells the Vikings or his, you know, this agent of his, who's got himself in trouble, he's lost a few of his top clients because he's got himself embroiled in some things. If he told the Vikings, you know what, AP will show up for camp, for training camp on time, if you excuse the $250,000, they'll do that. They'll find a way to make that work. So this is silly. He rarely goes to OTAs. Went last year because it was Mike Zimmer's first year. And the fact that he's not going to show up, it's not like he needs it. I know he hasn't played for a year, but the guy keeps himself in shape. Any photos of him, it's not like he put on 80 pounds. He's still a workout fiend. But get over this thing. I mean, whatever problems he has with some people in the front office with the Vikings, they did what he forced them to do. Mm-hmm. He still got paid, though. I mean, he made 12 or 13 million bucks for doing nothing all season. So he really needs to get over it and grow up. He's acting like a child.
Yes, he is.
And speaking of, well, not acting like a child, this guy's off the, he's way off this Ray McDonald. The story about him, you know, he signed by the Bears after being in San Francisco with the 49ers. While with the 49ers, he's had run-ins before where he was arrested on a domestic violence-related charge last summer, then a sexual assault charge in December, not charged either time. The NFL, citing its code of conduct policy, didn't penalize Ray McDonald, and the Bears signed him. Well, they cut him yesterday after the latest arrests. In Northern California, police say he assaulted a woman holding a baby. Now, they didn't identify, but the belief is that it's his baby and the mother of that baby. And also the belief is that it was the woman who the initial last summer, the charge of domestic violence. Now, he's created an issue. The Bears, they cut ties with him. No team can touch this guy.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's basically destroyed any type of a career. And you would think that when these guys get in trouble the first time, it's like we've talked to Marsh Hallberg, who will join us later, about a lot of people get that one DUI, they never drink and drive again. Mm-hmm. Others are habitual. This guy gives every indication of being habitual.
He just can't keep himself out of trouble.
No, he likes beating up women is what that would be certainly what the allegations are that he's faced. You know, he's been arrested three times for it, and you got to give credit to, Kyle Long, who had been briefly a teammate. I don't know if they ever worked out together, did anything, because I think McDonald was signed in March and cut yesterday. Kyle Long, his reaction to it, good riddance.
Yeah.
The Bears did the right thing.
Not even the Cowboys will go near him.
Well.
And they'll go after
him. It's only been 24 hours, so let's not jump that gun. But the thing that comes to mind, and the Washington Post brought it up, Arizona General Manager Steve Keim, he basically said it right about why the Bears would sign this guy after the alleged issues he had. If Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, we'd probably diagnose it as an eating disorder. And he's right. I mean, the NFL, if you can play, they are going to take a chance on you. And when you if we circle back to AP, he is very fortunate that people here in Minnesota are forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took a switch or a stick and beat a four-year-old with it.
There's a lot of people that are willing to accept him coming back, but he's making it very difficult. Even if he's demanding a trade right now, he's not helping out his own case.
Not at all.
By trying to get his way out of here as best as he can and making it so vocal, all the teams know that he doesn't want to be here, so they're not going to offer anything.
They're not going to offer anything, but they're going to have to, they have to also take him knowing he's be making $13 million this year, and he made it clear here with Dogger saying he wants a guaranteed deal.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that $17 million in 2017 guaranteed. They'd be absolute idiots to guarantee any of his money. Basically, his money, if he, his money's guaranteed pretty much anyway. Just show up and play. If you get hurt, it's guaranteed the rest of the season. If you get suspended, you've already proven you're going to get money, even though you beat up a four-year-old.
Just put the pads on. Put the pads on and show
just
up.
Just go
all he needs
job.
To do.
Yes.
And he's making it so much more difficult than it needs to be.
You know, he's getting bad advice. I don't know if it's just Dogger or all of his sycophants around him, but he's getting bad advice of how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
He should be happy that the Vikings are taking him back and that Mike Zimmer wants him to play. Again, Mike Zimmer, he's looking at the fact that he's a hell of a running back and overlooking the other stuff.
Yeah.
He really hasn't shown that he's contrite.
No.
You know, supposedly he's gone through a few of the counseling programs, but if he was contrite, he would understand why people on the Vikings were upset with what he did.
Yeah.
Anyone, well, I'd say anyone with a child, but any sensible person should be upset. And this is not, this is where, when we talked about this when it first happened in the fall, there's a difference between spanking a kid and leaving marks that are there a week later with a stick.
Yeah.
And people, some people don't make that distinction. If a parent, you know what, if you feel the way to discipline your child is to give him a swat on the butt with your hand, fine. I mean, you know, you don't want to savagely beat a child. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking a stick to a kid. I can't even imagine that. And I know a lot of people had called in and were grew up that way.
Yeah.
That just that doesn't make it right. It's a different time and a different era when adults were treated that way. And I still don't agree that it was the right way to handle it anyway. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I mean, having been slapped once or spanked once that I can recall as a kid.
So you were a really nice kid?
No, I just get yelled at. I got threatened to be put that through that frickin' wall many a time, but never was. The only time I can recall being spanked is I broke a neighbor's window, and my father was none too happy because I guess he didn't like the idea he had to pay to fix it. I made it three laps around the kitchen table before he grabbed me and swatted me butt good. I was five or six at the time. But even that, hey, I was able to walk a few weeks. No, it was not that bad. I mean, it was horrible at the time. It's more the chase than actually the swatting. So, it, but anyway, this AP thing, just, and he's not, this Dogger was trying to go after claiming that he wanted to renegotiate or he wanted a new deal. Clearly, he's still getting advice, because Dogger can tell him, AP, back down, just be quiet. Don't show up and we'll, let's work on getting, it's not about getting a contract. I think it's still about getting him out of here.
Yeah, and what position are the Vikings in to guarantee a contract for a guy that doesn't want to show up and wants he wants this guaranteed? How can they do that in good faith, knowing he might not show up during
you know, I'm still not
OTAs
convinced
or anything?
Because they get conflicting things out of his camp. Now you got AP not showing up, and somebody wrote for CBS Sports wrote something about, well, he may consider retirement. Well, he talked about that months ago. He threw it out there.
Yeah.
He's not going to retire. He's not going to give up this, you know, potential gravy train of money.
It's not likely, unless he has some massive disdain for Minnesota and they aren't willing to trade him or anything.
He's playing every card he thinks he has.
But Barry Sanders retired around his age.
Yeah, but Barry did it because he really wanted to retire. Yeah. Robert Smith did it at a younger age because he wanted to still be able to, as he put, you know, be able to walk and enjoy his children growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I don't think he had any kids. But he decided to walk away so he could have his health in relatively good shape. Now, AP certainly has had the knee injuries, had other injuries. But, I mean, he's the one that dishes it out more than gets it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a punishing runner.
Everybody else should be retiring when they see him.
When they see him coming out.
I'm retired.
I'm done. I'm out. See you later. But he just has to, if he would just show up, then even if it's not the OTAs, just put out the word, you know what, I haven't gone to OTAs in the past.
Yeah.
I'll be there for the mini camp and I'll be there for training camp. And tell Dogger behind the scenes, work it out so he, if that $250,000 is such a big deal to him, he's already getting $12.75 million. If that's not enough and he needs that to round it off at 13, I'm sure that they could work it out that they can get him that money.
Yeah.
But look at all the money he gave him last year for doing nothing while he was on a commissioner's exempt list. Honestly, anybody else would be thrilled that they haven't been fired or thrown out of their, you know, their off the team and out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
For some, could you imagine if something like that happened here at a lot of workplaces where your boss found out that you took a stick to your four-year-old and beat him? You wouldn't have a job.
Probably not.
And good luck for getting references to get a job. It's amazing. Sports are just an amazing, it's an amazing thing. Now, let me give you a couple of numbers here, and you're going to, because I know you'll know the answer to them, tell me what they mean. 1-6.
Potato. 1-6?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll give you all of them. 1-6, 2-8. Twins started the season 1-6. They're 2 games out of first place now, and they're 8 games above 500.
How about that?
Juggernaut. And 16. That's the number of games they've won in May, more than any other American League team.
They've been pretty good.
They're our juggernaut.
You got Aaron Hicks diving everywhere.
He's unbelievable. If you can only get that BA up.
They're getting solid starting pitching. There's actually a question about that coming up in the threesome.
Oh, well.
But, like Nolasco yesterday, he's been a surprise in his last few starts. He's had a problem getting past the 5-plus inning mark. He always ends up striking out a bunch of guys, but he can't get far into the game. But he went 7 2/3 yesterday and only gave up 2 runs, picked up his 100th win.
And Santana, you know, Irvin Santana can help them. What is it? It's got to be close to 30 games he has left, right?
Somewhere in there.
Range.
He threw a bullpen session to live batters on Sunday. He's going to make a few starts in extended spring training, and then he's going to go to the minor leagues for up to 16 days before he can return to the club.
And, well, I was talking to Brian Kersky, our program coordinator, about Alex Meyer. You know, people were saying, let's bring Meyer. At one point, bring Meyer up. He's not the ace of the staff anymore. He's in a bullpen.
No. He's had too many issues. We were trying to build up his arm strength because fatigue was a major factor. You saw his fastball dip in velocity a bit throughout the season. And trying to build him up, I don't know what happened. He lost his confidence or something.
But the help isn't going to come from him.
No.
Is the point. So, I mean,
there
right
are other
now,
places.
Yeah. I mean, if he could get going in a bullpen, maybe be a closer down the line, still a menacing sight at, 6'9 or 6'10. That would be frightening to see. You know, there's a 6'11 kid, I think at Moundsview. He signed a scholarship to go to Kentucky and pitch. 6'11 in high school.
Probably pitching. Can bring some heat.
Well, he probably, when he lets go of the ball, it's about his hand almost hits you in the head when he comes over and, you know, when he's swinging down with it. And how about, not good for the Blackhawks.
No.
Down 3-2, 80% of the time, the team that wins that game 5 when it's 2-2 winds up winning the series.
How about that series, though? 3 overtime games, one was triple overtime, double overtime, and then was it last night?
Overtime again, yeah.
Overtime. Didn't last long into overtime, but that's been a really exciting series. Just the other night when Anaheim had 3 goals in 37 seconds to take a lead,
and
Chicago tied it up. That was just incredible to watch.
Well, there's that, and the other one that's interesting a little bit. Rockets won to stave off elimination against Golden State. Do you know the record? Speaking of numbers, teams that have been down 3-0 in the NBA, in an NBA playoff, what the record is?
Doesn't happen.
Do you know what the record is, though?
No.
0-116.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
116 teams have been down.
Take those odds.
And I think over 60 or more times, I think it's a little more than 60, the teams that were up 3-0 swept. So, I mean, the fact that they didn't get swept was impressive. They won impressively last night, but I don't think they're going to be able to keep that one. That would be, I'll tell you what, you want to talk, that would be impressive. Down 3-1 in the last series, they came back. They can do this down 0-3 and come back. That would indeed be impressive.
If you're a betting man in Vegas with the 0-116 mark, you got to imagine there'd be really good odds. Place a $5 bet. You'd probably come
have to
with
be.
Like millions.
No, you could probably get a bet. Like, I don't know about millions, but for $5, you never know. Hey, we're going to take a, this is what I do know. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We will be joined by, he and I did the pregame show together. Chuck Foreman, want to talk to him about a couple of things. We'll talk about AP. Also, there was a story in the Pioneer Press this weekend about his chances to make it to the Hall of Fame. And I do think, Chuck, there's a movement now to get him in the Hall of Fame. And I think that he can make it. But unfortunately, what works against him is that Mick Tinglehoff is going in this year. He'd have to go through the seniors committee, and they're not going to give another Viking a nod for a few years yet. So we'll talk to Chuck about that. and about the whole AP thing. Also, Tim Lammers talked to him some sports movies. Marsh Hallberg, our legal expert. Mike Gelfand will join us usually on Monday. Today, Tuesday, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. We got threesome debate. We got plenty. Don't go anywhere. Right back with Chuck Foreman.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are joined by Vikings legend Chuck Foreman, who nice piece in the Pioneer Press this weekend on you, Chuck, and your Hall of Fame prospects.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, I knew this because Tom Moore from VikeFans.com, who put together a great presentation that he sent to the senior committee members who vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he had shown it to me before he sent it. And it was, there were numbers in there that impressed the heck out of me, and I think you weren't aware of some of the numbers yourself, right?
I was very unaware of the numbers that he put together. It took him like 300 hours to do all that stuff.
Well, it was impressive. Now, here's the one that is eye-popping to me. Chuck, again, talking to Chuck Foreman, Chuck ranks second in career points per start at 5.43 behind only one man, Jim Brown, when you compare it to the top 20 NFL rushers in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So only Jim Brown has more career points per start. And frankly, Chuck, what's more important than points?
I don't know. You can help me figure it out. I don't know.
Well, here's the other one.
He put all that together because I wasn't aware of all that either. And I knew I was productive during my time, and I knew I had all that going on, but I didn't know that I ranked so high in so many different categories.
Well, Chuck, honestly, where you get screwed is the fact that you are a runner and a receiver.
Right.
And people
right.
look at running backs, and they don't really want to look at the receiving yardage that you had. But here's another thing. You ranked third in combined rushing receiving yards per NFL start behind only Walter Payton, and despite the fact of the things he did off the field, Walter
right.
Payton and O.J. Simpson, when you're comparing the nine Hall of Famer backs from that era.
Right. Well, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, when I came to the Vikings and Jerry Burns and Bud told me how they were going to use me, they told me right away that you weren't going to get the credit that you certainly deserve, but you'll be the best. And so hopefully, you know, people wake up and say, okay, did this guy dominate the games when he was in there? Don't worry about whether I was a runner, but just a complete football player. And that's what I was. And hopefully they'll start to recognize that and not hold that against me and kind of recognize the fact that, you know, I was kind of a, for lack of a better word, a hybrid. Way before my time, so.
Well, Chuck, here's the other one that's impressive. Fastest player in NFL history to score 50 touchdowns. That's pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Now,
they brought all these different stats here to me, and I was just amazed at all of them.
Well, here's the downside of it, though, and it's great that your former mm-hmm. teammate, Mick Tinglehoff, is going in, but your way to in is the same way his was, through the senior committee.
Right.
And the senior committee, it's not likely at all that they're going to put in another Viking this year.
Yeah, well,
or even next year.
Probably true. And who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I'm just glad that they're starting to recognize my contribution and know that I do belong. And it's just, I don't know. It's just a matter of when and how are you going to do it? I don't know.
Well, and the other one in 2010, a guy who actually was, the only difference was, did you do any, you didn't do any punt or kickoff returns, did you?
No, I didn't do that, no.
Floyd Little, whose numbers are very comparable to yours, but yours were better because
right.
he only had 1,000-yard rushing season,
right.
never appeared in a playoff game, and two of his five Pro Bowls were in the AFL All-Star game where
right.
you had five Pro Bowl appearances, and obviously you played in three Super Bowls.
Right.
So, I mean, there's well, Chuck, you know, if I was on that senior committee, I'd be pushing for you.
I know you would be. You know what I mean? But, you know, being a two-time MVP and, player of the year, whatever they call it, I don't know, you know, what it takes. But, you know, it's been a long time, and I'm just glad to be getting the recognition that says that I do deserve to be considered.
I think you will get in because there are people like Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News. He was quoted by, or he was interviewed by Chris Thomason, who wrote the story in the Pioneer Press, and he's been a proponent of you getting in, and he has a lot of sway on the committee. But again, even he talked about it's going to be very difficult with Tinglehoff going in, and the other guy would
that's not only fair, you know. It would be nice if they kind of like increase the number of seniors that could go in.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I don't disagree with you at all. And what would be nice is if when they have a year, they put you and Ed White in going in together because both of your careers were tied together there.
Exactly. You know, Ed White was a major part of my success. And, you know, Rod and Yuri said it in the newspaper, you know. Eddie deserves his recognition, too.
Now, Chuck, let me switch gears on you a little bit because we were talking about Adrian Peterson a minute ago not coming in for the OTAs. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's that big a deal because he came in because Mike Zimmer's first year was last year. How do you think this whole AP thing is going to play out? Do you think he'll force a trade?
I think what's going to happen, the bottom line is cool heads to prevail. Adrian, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to leave $6 million up here because you can't make that kind of money anywhere else. I think the Vikings have step forward and try to make amends to do what they needed to do to make things right. And I need to say to Adrian, hey, man, we need you. The people want you. And come on, just come on back. And again, this year will go a long way. I think that's the way it should go. And hopefully it will. And I think we got a great coaching staff. We got some great additions to the team. And listen, you know, this could be a surprise team this year, Bob. You know, we're just a hair away. That offensive line just has to play a little bit better. We get Adrian back. We have four throttle. And you see, I want him back because, you know, he's going to be coming out here running. People ran with reckless abandon before. But he's going to be reckless, careless, and every doggone thing else to be the best. So he's going to show everybody, hey, I'm the best running back here in this game.
And you have a quarterback this year that's going into his second season.
Right.
And I think he's going to know that offense. He's going to be a lot better than he was a year ago. Because, I think we're both on the same page on Teddy Bridgewater. We think he's going to be special.
Yeah. I think Teddy's going to be just fine. You know, he's here. He's doing his work. He's doing his due diligence. And that's the kind of quarterback you want. He's in there. He's doing the things that he needs to do to make himself better. He's better. Everybody around him is better. And as I said, you and I both know that offensive line has got to step up to the plate and play much better.
Well, Khalil is starting with him. But now, Chuck, the other thing is, of course, talking to Chuck Foreman, he's a Miami kid, so that's a big thing in his favor, right? You being having played at Miami, I know you like those Miami players.
I think they are well coached. The programs down there are exceptional, and they start very young, and they have a good concept and understanding of the football game, both offensively and defensively.
Now, you would, let's say something doesn't work out with AP. I can't imagine a scenario where he's not with them, because if they're adamant about not trading him, what's he going to do, sit out after having said, this time if he sits out, he won't be paid.
Hey, listen, he's not sitting out anywhere. You know, there's no way he's going to do that. He's going to have to come back here. He's going to have to do what he's got to do, do his job, be professional, and then move this team on to the playoffs and maybe a Super Bowl. That's what Adrian needs to do.
Now, Chuck, did you ever talk to him about pass catching? Because you were one of the best receiving running backs in history.
I have had a little conversation with Adrian, other than the one conversation I had with him was when he hurt his knee, not to come back, but he came back and he hurt his knee.
Yep.
I haven't really had any long conversations or anything like that with Adrian Peterson.
But the Vikings, over the years, have they ever asked you to come and talk to some of the running backs about being better receivers? You know, what a resource you would be for these guys.
Certainly would be, and I'd love to do it, but, you know, it's a different day.
But, well, are there things, either you got the hands or you don't, or are there things that these guys can do to make them better?
Like this, number one, if he could catch it, they'd be throwing it.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say.
Well, it's true. But that's what I mean. Could you make a guy? I mean, how much better can you make a guy who just doesn't have the hands? I mean,
you
gift.
Can make him much better at all. But, you know, it's definitely possible to work with him and get him, you know, out there and get him. But, you know, it'd be nice for him to be isolated one-on-one like that if he could catch the ball. That'll save a lot of wear and tear and everything else. But you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, you gotta, have those hands, which you had, right. When you first started playing. You've played wide receiver, you played DB, and you played running back in college, so you pretty much could have played anywhere on the field, although I don't think nose tackle would have been your spot.
No, not at all, but see, I would have tried it if they asked me.
Just stick you right in the middle there. Well, yeah. Chuck, I got to tell you, as always, it's great to talk to you. And okay. And I look for. I know you had something. You were at school today. I think I didn't want to play.
So I got to get out of here.
Then I won't hold you anymore, Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck Foreman, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. My dad was just, by the way. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, and as I said, you look at these numbers that he has, and he absolutely. Should get consideration. It belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame. The senior committee is the only way that he would be able to get in. And this is one I don't think I gave you. He ranks second behind only Walter Payton in receptions and receiving yards when compared to Hall of Fame backs from that era. When you take a look at comparing the Hall of Fame backs, he stacks up awfully, well, very nicely against them. And he talked about, too, Ed White and how much of a hand he played. He loved running behind Ed White. That was a good offensive line when they had White, who belongs in the Hall of Fame. Tinglehoff was going in. Ron Yarry, who is in. I mean, there were some good players on that offensive line. But Chuck was as good a receiving running back as has ever played the game. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I've heard things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, you're a kid. You just don't, All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Tim Lammer. He's going to talk to him. There's some sports movies coming up that we're going to talk to Tim about. You could join in if you have anything you want to ask Tim or chime in. 651-989-9105. We'll be right back. We are joined by syndicated movie journalist Tim Lammers. Catches reviews on Care 11 News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays on the Tom Bernard Show. And you also can check out his reviews on directconversations.com. Tim, how are you?
I'm well, Bob. I just wish it were sunnier outside.
Oh, my gosh.
Caught in a rainstorm on the highway today, man. It was crazy.
So did Helmsy here, Hellboy, a.k.a. David Helmer, and me too. I got, it was bad, but you know what? At least it's not parts of Texas.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, listening to those stories, yeah, you feel, even though you feel like you're in a monsoon, it's like we have nothing compared to everybody else. Really.
No, and I think tomorrow might be the only day where we will have a little bit of sunshine.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not good. Now, tell us, speaking of sunshine, enlighten us about some of the sports movies coming up soon. Or potentially coming up.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting, Bob, because I subscribe to these various film production services, and you kind of get a peek into what's coming down the line, possibly.
Yep.
And so I looked at the IMDb Pro, the Internet Movie Database's Pro site, professional site, as to what films are in development, just to see what kind of sports movies are coming down the pike, and really I was shocked to see there weren't that many, at least in the next couple of years. Now, the thing about development is just that. They're ideas that they're trying to flesh them out. Doesn't mean they'll actually be made, so when you hear some of the titles, you think, well, hopefully they won't be made. know?
That bad, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, how long has it been since Dodgeball? I don't know if you want to consider that a sports. It's a competition movie. I don't know if, obviously there's no professional dodgeball leagues, or are there? I don't know.
There might be after that movie.
Yeah, well, but Ben Stiller's company, his production company, is indeed, I would imagine with the success of the first film, however many years it has been, there is the idea for a sequel out there, and it is in development. But again, how many years does it take before something like this is made, if it's made at all?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. One that I think looks really promising, though, just because he's really hot right now, both in stand-up and on film, and his stand-up specials on like Comedy Central or whatever, is Kevin Hart is developing a picture called Ballers, which is about, this is what the premises is. Five guys attending the LeBron James adult basketball camp in Las Vegas managed to involve the superstar in their myriad of life issues.
Oh, my God.
So, a guy like Kevin Hart, who co-wrote the script, again, just because he's hot right now, might have a little bit more clout. you wonder if that's actually going to get made because of that. And they actually have LeBron James pegged as one of the stars.
Let me ask you this. Explain to me Kevin Hart. Why he gets all these movie roles. I mean, I don't think he's funny.
It's funny, Bob. I really like the guy.
I think
he has a magnetic screen presence. He has, his movies have been, Ride Along was a huge hit. And I think that's really kind of what catapulted him into the big time. But, The Wedding Ringer really didn't do anything at all. I mean, it probably made money, probably because it didn't cost a lot of money. But you had a guy like him and a guy like Josh Gad, who was also on the rise. And, it wasn't blockbuster stuff. I don't know. I just think it's his personality and his... I don't know what it is about him. I really like him.
Maybe I need to see more, because I haven't.
Yeah, well... He was also, this movie didn't do that well either, but it was Chris Rock directed that movie, Top Five. And he had a very small part in that as Chris Rock's agent.
Okay.
So, it'll be interesting to see where his career goes from here. I don't think, just because, like movies like The Wedding Ringer, because that wasn't a big hit, doesn't mean that this won't be a big hit. The other one that he just did, which was a fairly decent moneymaker, was the one with Will Ferrell, Get Hard. So, these sorts of movies, if they make enough money, that's all they need. As long as they're not in the red when the bottom line is issued, they're considered bankable and viable, and who knows what kind of projects they'll get.
Who was it? It wasn't him, was it, in Grudge Match with Stallone and De Niro?
It was.
It was, okay.
Yeah, it was. So, again, there you go.
But
obviously more of a supporting player there when you got...
No, he absolutely was. And actually, I guess because he wasn't on the screen that much, I didn't mind him as much.
Yeah, yeah. I could see how he may be an acquired taste. I don't know. I really liked him in whatever I've seen him in. But you're right. I mean, there are just certain people out there where you're scratching your head saying, what is the fascination there? So,
now,
yeah.
I looked at, because I knew we were going to be talking about this, and I found a website... It's called MovieWeb.com for 2015 sports movies. I haven't heard of any of them. There's one that supposedly came out in January called Spare Parts. One that supposedly came out in April called The Squeeze about a golfer. Something called Undrafted. Looks like a cartoon called Underdogs. There's another one called Brothers, My All-American Pele. Something called Intramural. I mean, have you heard of any of these?
The golfing one, it was one of those movies that was released in theaters, but only in limited release, and then it went to video on demand right away.
Okay, because nobody really wanted to watch
it. It looks to me like the only one that might have some punch, so to speak, is Jake Gyllenhaal's got a picture coming out called Southpaw, where he plays a boxer. And that's scheduled for late July.
I think I've seen trailers for that one.
Right, yeah. So, and the guy that was connected, Kurt Suter from Sons of Anarchy. I mean, there's enough clout there that you're going to see this one. You're going to see this one, and you're going to hear of it. Rachel McAdams also stars in that one. And Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, who knows? Maybe they're going to try to push this guy for an Oscar like they did for Nightcrawler.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That was horrible.
But you got 50 Cent in there. You got... Naomi Harris, who was the last Bond girl, and Forest Whitaker. So, I mean, you have a decent cast there. So, yeah, that seems to be about the only real big sports movie coming down the pike here in the next couple months anyway.
Why do you think now, some sport, when they hit, some of them are just phenomenal. But there's so many of them that, is it why there aren't that many made? Because it is a hit or miss type of thing with people?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems to be about the timing of things. I mean, it seems to me like, well, Draft Day didn't do, nearly as well as I think the NFL hoped it would have. But that, that was released a month before last year's Draft Day. But, I mean, if you have a great movie, say like The Natural or whatever, come out in the fall, I mean, if it's around the time and the timing is good for something like that, maybe that has something to do with it. But I don't know if there's really any rhyme or reason with what hits or what doesn't hit. A lot of times it might happen to do with the competition it has on a certain weekend. And that's why we saw, a Hot Pursuit come out a week after The Avengers, because we all knew that The Avengers was going to stomp that, so nobody bothered even going to Hot Pursuit. It's really a tricky proposition putting a movie out there, finding the timing, finding, competition or lack thereof, and making it a hit.
Now, this the movie Tomorrowland, did it crush this weekend?
No, it didn't at all. It was very surprising. In fact, you know, Pitch Perfect 2, which was the number one film the week before, did about $70 million its opening weekend in a three-day span. In a four-day span, Tomorrowland did about $44 million, which isn't that good, especially considering that it took $190 million to make.
So, well, they must be absolutely dead. Somebody lost their job.
Climb.
Wouldn't you think that a few people might have lost their jobs over that one?
Well, it all depends. And, you know, there wasn't it didn't open internationally, unlike the Avengers, which opened, you know, a couple of weeks before it did, you know, overseas before it did here. But, yeah, it could be. It could be because, you know, on top of that, you got to remember there's money that goes into marketing, too. So
now, Tim, I'm embarrassed to say I'm not embarrassed to say this. I did not see the first Pitch Perfect.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 2. But if you asked me, is it a musical or is it about a softball team? I might have guessed softball team, even though maybe it's a musical about a softball team.
Yeah, that could be. You have to be living under a rock, I'm afraid, Bob, to walk into that one thinking it's a softball movie.
But you understand my point, though.
Sure,
just, I tell you, I'm just not, I guess I'm just not, anything directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell for me.
Have you ever seen a softball movie, though?
Has there ever been a softball movie?
That's a good question for next time, I think.
Wow. There has been. I know there was one with Artie Lang where it was something about beer. It was a beer league or something like that.
I'm just trying to, I'm racking my, I'm looking.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, there was a softball element, very small, but in About Last Night with Rob Lowe and Jim Belushi. They belong to a softball league.
But it wasn't a softball.
But it wasn't a softball movie.
Yeah, I mean, there have been movies where it's been, okay, I just typed in softball movies. There's one called Artie Lang's Beer League, the one he just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Something called Chooch, C-H-O-O-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
Fast Pitch is apparently one. High School Musical 2 apparently added some softball in there. Mm-hmm. So if High School Musical 2 had it, would figure that Fever or Pitch Perfect might have had it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, anyway, Tim, the time just flies. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll talk
Bob, I'll have to tell you quickly. I just talked with Bill Poled last week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wanted to ask you. I apologize.
Yeah. He said, you know, he's been pitched early on in his career, was pitched a lot more locally based movie productions. Like somebody said, hey, you know, there's this great hockey, outstate hockey team that won the tournament, you know. What are the chances? And he said, basically, outside of the borders of our region, it's kind of a tough sell. So that, I think we kind of talked about that a little bit. But he says, as far as sports movies in general are concerned, he said, you can have a great sports storyline, but he says you really need a good human story to go along with it in order to really make it count.
Yeah, he's right about it. He sounds like he might be the best of the Poled lads.
Yeah, he was a good, very good interview. You know, I talked with him for about 20 minutes, but I'll make sure to try to get a plug in for that when that posts online. That'll be next week. But
yeah, let me know.
Love and Mercy opens next week.
All right, Tim, thank you so much. Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist, reviews on KARE 11, News at 11 on Fridays. Monday, he's on the Tom Bernard Show, the digital radio show, appears on KQ. And he does his reviews on his website, too, directconversations.com. Tim, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right,
you.
Bob. Great. Have a great week.
You too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Upon our return, we will do a little threesome. Three questions, three answers. You're always welcome to join in at 651-989-9105. Don't be bashful. Give us a call. If not, we'll just answer them ourselves. So there. See you in a minute.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Three, oh, it's a magic number.
No way!
It's a magic number.
You're silly man. Threesome, three questions, answers. Let's do it. What do you got first there? And who's asking today?
Hey, Bob. It's Mr.
Hey,
X. I have three questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, if Adrian Peterson actually does retire or the Vikings are forced to trade him, what do they do to shore up the running back position?
He's not going to retire, and at the moment, it doesn't look like they're going to trade him. They're not going to shore it up. They're going to go with what they had last year and hope the guys stay healthy. there really aren't any other options.
Would they not consider trying to bring anybody in, or they just,
who, Ray
just
Rice?
Roll with McKinnon?
I don't think that's going to happen.
And Asiata.
Yeah, I think that's what they'd wind up doing. I mean, what veterans are out there that they could sign other than guys with baggage?
Yeah, I don't think there is anybody. Like,
that's what I mean. They're
really
not going to make a trade for
out
one.
There, but.
Or, okay, well, here's an opportunity or an option. They're not going to cut him. So he's either going to play for them or, there's always the possibility of a trade. Whatever trade they do would have to involve a high draft pick. I would think at this point they're going to want a one, because teams would be more willing to give up a first-round pick in the summer than they are getting closer to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
If they're in a team, again, we keep going back to Dallas, maybe they could trade one of those stiffs that they have. I'm sure you can get a running back from a team that you're trading him to, if that's important to you.
I guess they could do that. I don't want McFadden.
I thought you were a big McFadden fan.
Nope.
All I know is, having watched him and getting burned by him once in fantasy football, it's not going to happen again. I wouldn't put any stuff. But again,
just one time?
Anyone, I would not take him again. Anyone who runs behind that line, if you stay healthy, you are going to get some yards behind that Cowboys line. So there's absolutely talent along that that offensive line. What else you got?
Number two, the Minnesota Twins have gotten some nice starts from their pitching staff recently.
Darn tootin'.
Who do you think is the best pitcher on this staff?
Well, I mean, if you go by the numbers, you got to go with Nolasco's 5-1, although his ERA blows. It's 5-1-2, but he's 5-1. He's 5-1-2 with a 1.61 ERA, or WHIP, excuse me. It's unbelievable that the guy could be 5-1. I would say it's Gibson. A 2.72 ERA, a 1.21 WHIP, even though he's 4-3. I mean, he's been your steadiest guy, certainly with ERA. And then, you know, Hughes is starting to get things together, and he's got the losing record right now. I'd say it's probably the guy right now would be Gibson.
Gibson's been surprisingly consistent. So we've mentioned this before, that he was always that up and down guy. But we've also gotten really good production out of Pelfrey.
Yes, you have. Absolutely, you have. And he's 3-1. He's got the 3.00 ERA and a 1.31 WHIP. So he has given you. None of them are really getting. Actually, when you take a step back, the most confusing one is Nolasco. The numbers he has, because he got shelled in some games, but he's 5-1.
Yeah.
I mean, when
he came back from that elbow inflammation, he's been so much better.
You know what? I mean, okay, take a step back from this. Gibson, Pelfrey, Hughes, Nolasco, and Trevor May. Basically, you got a team full of number three, number four, and number five starters.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have an ace. Do you have a true number two on most teams? I'm not sure you have. I don't think you have that.
No, we got a lot of middle of the road.
You got a lot of three,
guys.
Fours, and fives, yeah. So, they're getting it done, though.
Hughes' numbers are not great, but also he had the glorious benefit of facing the other teams number the first like three or four
absolutely
starts.
And he was and part of that, in that 1-6 start, he got two of the starts right against some pretty good teams.
I
don't disagree with that. But
and Trevor May's been really good. On Saturday night he pitched a hell of a game, and I was surprised a little bit that they took him out after seven innings, because he had only thrown 80 pitches. But I understand in a one run ball game you kind of want your setup man, and then get it to Perkins in the ninth.
But you also, these guys, I will say this, Neil Allen's done a terrific job with the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And Molitor, I think that they have a sense of when things are, regardless of, the number of pitchers, they can watch these guys and see that it may get a little iffy here if they leave them in another inning. So, obviously, you can't fault the job those guys have done.
Here's a good addition to the question from Zach. So, who do you start in a one-game wild card if it comes to that?
I think you have to wait until the season plays out. But my thought right now would probably be Hughes or Gibson.
Yeah, I could see him just.
Or
Hughes, he's a veteran. We gave him all that money for a reason.
Yeah, that would be Hughes. But also, I guess I'd like to see how Nolasco keeps going.
Yeah, if he can do what he did at the end of last season, put that together for almost the entirety of this year, we're looking at a really good guy on this team.
But again, if you're... Okay, Zach, can you get on the microphone there?
Maybe.
Zach.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, Zach, so who would you put in that one-game playoff scenario you just described? Zach, by the way, if you call, you'll get Zach on the phone.
I don't know. For me, it's tough. I think you probably go Gibson. But like you said, you'd like to see what kind of happens and how it plays out with Phil Hughes or how it plays out with Nolasco. And also, you don't know what you're going to get from Irvin Santana. You know, when eventually you see him.
Well, but you wouldn't get him in a one-game playoff.
Yeah, he won't be eligible to be in that game at all.
Yeah, because he can only play in the regular season.
No good, but he can help us get to that point.
So that's what happens. That'll happen to him. But when you get when you take a look at it, when he comes back, right now I would guess that Trevor May's the guy who's going to be the odd man out. They're not going to take one of the veterans out unless they start really stinking it up. I mean, you're not going to see Pelfrey and Nolasco come out. I wouldn't think so.
We got one more about Twins pitching coming up here.
All right,
and finally, Tommy Malone is 4-0 with over 31 innings pitched, and he's only allowed one run since being sent down to the minors. How long can the Twins keep him down there?
Well, the problem is where they're going to put him.
They need somebody to get injured.
Yeah, they need somebody to get
like
hurt.
That.
I mean, he's blocked right now, I'd say. You know, if somebody gets shelled a couple of games, then it makes it easier.
Do you risk bringing him up just to be a long reliever if that?
No, I think you leave
something like that.
I think you just let him, you know, you let him, when you bring him up, you have him start. And there's always somebody who's going to get nicked or hurt.
And he's been putting up phenomenal numbers down there. Like I said, 4-0 over 31 innings pitched. I think he's striking out about 12 batters per nine innings. He's too good to be playing in the AAA.
Yeah, but the numbers weren't phenomenal when he was here.
His first two starts were.
Well, he didn't leave.
Fell apart quick, though.
Yes, he did. I don't think you can do anything right now with him. He's just waiting for an opening to occur. We are going to take a quick break. When we return, we will be joined by Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense for our sports law segment brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. Looking forward to talk to Marsh about Ray McDonald, little AP, little this, little that. Looking forward to it.